This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Is there anything more delicious, more sensuous, more satisfying than biting into a truly fresh, juicy peach? Now, finding them is a bit of a problem. Most peaches in the grocery store could substitute for baseballs, but we're fortunate to live in close proximity to where some of the best peaches in the country are grown, and we can buy them at the height of ripeness. We're told because of this year's weather, the peach harvest should be the best in many years. So to help you take advantage of it, we're going to find out everything we can about them, from the various varieties that we grow in the peach orchards of South Carolina to the many ways to use them in food. Andy Rollins is a senior associate with the Cooperative Extension Service based out of Clemson University. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Nice to see you. Ron Edwards went to work growing peaches at Springs Farms at the age of 11.
Good morning.
Wow, good morning. 5 years ago, he returned to the farm to put what he knows about peaches back to work. He's only 16 today. Welcome to the show. And Fran Schiabelli is the owner of a restaurant called Fran's Filling Station. And according to our friend Peter Reinhardt, Johnson & Wales University chef on assignment, she knows just about everything there is to know about cooking with peaches. You may know Fran from Metropolitan Cafe and the bakery associated with it for many, many years in Southeast Charlotte. Thank you for joining us as well.
It's my pleasure, but nothing like a little pressure to start things off.
there's no pressure involved here because you unexpectedly brought some goodies, which I've already sampled, and have a sugar buzz that you wouldn't believe right now. And they were delicious, all using peaches, which we'll talk about as we go through the show. First question, is it possible to get a really good peach from a grocery store?
If it's local.
How come I can't find them then? Because they're always hard as a rock when I buy them. Or you think they're going to be good because you squeeze them and you smell them and you bite into them and they're just mealy or they have no flavor, there's no juice coming down my chin. Why is that?
It has a lot to do with where it came from, just like Ron said, you know, really picking the right peach at the right time and having it there at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. We do have some pretty large producers here in South Carolina that do actually supply some of the grocery stores, so it's actually not something we're discouraging people from doing. You can find good peaches there, but it's all got to do with when that peach is picked and how it's picked, and also how it is when it arrives to you. If it's hard and not soft to the touch, mm-hmm. those sugars haven't started ripening and soften that peach up yet, and so it's going to have a more bland flavor. Once it starts to ripen, that's when a lot of those sugars and things start to really
kick in. Will it ripen? If you buy a hard peach in the grocery store, and I've heard that you put it in the paper bag and sit it on the countertop and it will ripen over time, will it in fact do that?
It will. We've even had one lady to say that put a banana in there with it, of all things, in a paper bag.
Is it the off-gassing of the fruit that's causing the ripening?
That's correct.
How does this happen on the tree without the off-gassing of fruit? Is it just because the tree's still involved at that point?
Yeah, I believe it's, well, getting too technical with it, but yeah, it's called the climacteric effect. Once it's, you know, the heat that's outside, it's got that temperature, and that temperature is what converts that starch into sugar, mm-hmm. you know, over time once it becomes fully ripe. Unfortunately, a lot of times if it's being shipped, say, from California or from somewhere else, they go through a hydrocooling, which actually lowers the peach down to a very, and all of our peaches in the upstate are picked directly from the tree, just like at Ron's place, and put into a basket for you, whereas the hydrocooling and the packing from the larger, you know, peach growers mm-hmm. sometimes halts that ripening. If you take it down a little bit too low, I don't know exactly what the right temperature is, but if you take it down too low, sometimes it's hard for that. So the problem that you're talking about is a real problem, and sometimes that's when they've taken the peaches down too cold, and it's hard to get that ripening back started.
Given that we have such close proximity here to the orchards in the upstate of South Carolina, could the upstate of South Carolina, if the grocery stores in season only carried peaches from our region, would there be enough peaches to satisfy demand?
I believe so. I believe we wouldn't you say, Ron?
Well, you know, we got one of the largest growers in the country in South Carolina.
Which one?
So it's
Chalmers Carr with Titans Farm.
He's one of the largest.
I believe the third largest in the United States.
Wow.
Now, from a cook's point of view, Fran, does it matter whether the peach is hard out of the grocery store like a rock or whether it's juicy and soft and fragrant and all that good stuff? Does it matter if you're going to use it in a dish?
Well, I mean, It matters to a degree. I mean, obviously, I always want to use a ripe fruit, a ripe peach, ripe whatever it is I'm using. But, for example, if you're doing some techniques like grilling or roasting, then you don't want a really soft peach because whatever your end product is, it'll be too soft. It'll fall apart. So when I'm looking to buy a peach that I'm going to grill or roast, I pick a slightly firmer peach, but not a hard peach.
This shouldn't surprise me because we've done so many food shows, and we've done a number of food shows on grilling. But grilling a peach is something that never occurred to me.
It's really hot right now. I will tell you, it is one of the hottest things because if I've been telling people, you know, I'm going to be talking about peaches, grilling, you guys talked about grilling today, yeah. Right? It's really, yeah. It's a popular thing.
How do you grill a peach? What do you do with it?
Well, I mean, it's like anything. You know, when you cook something, and especially when you do something like grilling it, it's going to bring out the natural sugar in the peach. So it's going to create a crust, which people like. Mm-hmm. But it's also going to make the peach sweet and juicy and a little crispy on the outside. And one of the things I do with grilled peaches is to take a little wedge of a peach. You could peel it. You cannot peel it. You can wrap it in a little piece of basil and pancetta or prosciutto and pop it right on the grill.
And how long does it stay there? How do you know when it's
done?
How do you protect it from flame up or whatever you...
That's half the fun of grilling. Come on. Well, you know, anytime you put something with fat, which would be pancetta or bacon or prosciutto, it's going to... But you do it at a lower temperature for a longer time.
Okay.
And you just keep turning it and turning it. And I would say it probably takes to get nice and crisp about 20 minutes at a medium-low temperature.
And how would you serve a grilled peach?
I personally, well, the one I was talking about with the basil and the pancetta, I would put it on a salad with a little bit of goat cheese and maybe a little champagne vinaigrette. Nothing too fancy. You could also just put it on a skewer and have it with a cocktail for a little hors d'oeuvre.
We're going to go through some recipes because Fran has made some wonderful things here this morning for us to sample, and I've already sampled a few of them, not all of them. And we're going to do that. We're also going to go through the varieties of peaches that are grown locally because there are numbers of them that are grown locally, and some of them are sitting in front of me right here. But I want to talk about why Georgia is called the Peach State when, in fact, more peaches are grown in South Carolina than Georgia grows. South Carolina is called what? The tastier peach state. Tell me about that. Why is that?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure why Georgia has that recognition, but we don't mind if they keep it.
why?
As long as they keep buying our peaches.
And how did South Carolina become such a place for peaches? What is it about the climate, the soil?
I think it's the red soil. I know on our farm, I've always heard that rich red soil that we have makes those peaches a lot sweeter than, say, a sandier soil, say, down lower part of the state or something.
Although they do grow. I didn't know this till yesterday when I was reading about it. They do grow peaches in the coastal area of South Carolina.
Some of our biggest growers are actually down toward that region.
So what you're saying is that the peaches you buy from there aren't tasty, right? Is what you're saying?
Oh, ours are superior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's nothing like a Redland peach, right, Ron?
That's right.
But Spartanburg at one time, you know, for the Georgia thing, we actually produced, Spartanburg at one time produced more peaches than the entire state of Georgia, just the county of Spartanburg.
Really?
Yeah. So, and you're right, we are still number two only to California in production.
By the way, is that peachoid ripe yet? I just want to know. And there are three places in South Carolina where peaches are grown, the Ridge, the Coastal Plain, and the Piedmont. I've never heard of the Ridge. What is the Ridge? Where is that?
Well, the Ridge, the grower that Ron referred to, Titan Farms, he's the third largest in the United States.
Okay.
And that's the Edgefield area. As you're going... I guess down toward Augusta from here, if you cut through the country, you'll go through Edgefield and that general area. And a lot of peaches are grown in that area on the sand. A little different, you know, they have some different challenges that we don't have in terms of water, especially during this time. Our redland tends to hold the moisture a lot better. And we're a little bit better situation, whereas they could be looking at losing trees right now.
Because of the drought?
Because of the drought, whereas we're in pretty good shape, and that's actually making the peaches sweeter.
Yeah, people may not know this because we just went through a major drought, and we thought it was over, but South Carolina evidently is suffering more from drought conditions than North Carolina at the moment. That may change, of course, but that seems to be a problem. And the ridge is called the ridge, I read yesterday, because there's a sudden drop-off of the topography. And that helps the peaches in some way. It makes it ideal for peaches. Why?
I'm not really sure what exactly how that helps them in that area. But peaches do require certain chilling requirements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're very susceptible to cold freezes in the spring, which a lot of times is why we, you know, just a few years ago, we lost our entire crop across the entire state because of cold damage to those blooms when they're in that stage are very susceptible to cold injury. And so a lot of times that's what actually makes the news rather than a bumper crop like we've got this year. So.
And why is it a bumper crop? Because we had so much rain over the winter?
Well, we just didn't have any freeze during the springtime. And so many times you get after the trees have bloomed, you have a frost or freeze. And it usually takes some of the blooms out, freeze them out. And this year we didn't have anything. Matter of fact, we had three hot days in April. Back to back that kind of spun everything that blooms or basically a living plant, put it in a whirl spin because we went up to almost 90 degree days. I know we have some 20 acres of strawberries on the farm too, and it sent those guys in a tailspin. It caused the plants to bloom all at one time.
Oh wow.
And the same with the peaches that's a good thing, but on the other side it's a lot labor intense because we have to go through and thin those peaches because we have every bloom produced a peach. And if you didn't thin them, first thing, if they did, they're going to tear your trees up because there's so many peaches on the trees, break your limbs and that kind of thing. So you have to go through and prune.
So in other words, you get rid of some potential fruit.
Right. We knock probably 40-50% of the fruit off, hits the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the fruit that's left there will size up and be nice It's a hard thing to do because you'll knock the fruit off. You look on the ground. The ground is covered with fruit, and you say, "Oh, I knocked too much off." But right. So many times we don't knock enough off.
Is that tax deductible? Can you write that off?
Like I say, it's another labor intensive thing.
Can you do anything? Can you make jams? Can you do anything with those?
No, because at this point these peaches are just real small, 50-cent size, you know.
Yeah,
golf ball size. So
which leads me to this, because Andy said a few seconds ago, the only time we ever hear about these peaches is when we have serious freezes that jeopardize the peach crop. We don't hear about the bumper crops. We don't hear about the good things. But we also, I guess, come away with the idea that this is very tricky business. This is a very temperamental thing to do. Peach growing, is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
What's the worst part? Is it the potential frost? Is it the lack of rain? Too much rain? What's the biggest challenge?
Well, you start out the year. Do you get enough chill hours? I mean, to bring everything the nature back down like it's supposed to be. So you're worrying about the chill hours, and then
you want it to be cold for a certain number.
Yeah, we want it to be cold during the winter to get our chill hours in.
And what does that do, the chill hours, for the tree or the fruit?
That prepares the bloom for actual blooming. If you don't have enough chill hours, then the plant won't. It needs a rest, just like you and I. We can't keep going but so much. And a peach tree grows so much during the summer, it's got to have a rest.
Okay.
And if it doesn't get enough of rest, depending on which variety it is, then it won't properly flower and won't set fruit. So it's critical to have the right number of chilling hours. And that summons the proper selection of which peaches Ron has at his farm.
Let's stop there and come back to this, because I want to talk about the trickiness of growing these peaches, because you have a lot at stake, peach growers. Andy Rollins is with us from the Clemson Cooperative Extension Service. Ron Edwards, who's with Springs Farm, and Fran Schiavelli, owner of Fran's Filling Station, who will share some recipes and food in a moment or two. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is made possible in part today by NPower Charlotte Region's Managed Services, providing IT support and strategy to help nonprofits achieve their missions. Details at npowercharlotteregion.org. Eureka! It's a word that describes a moment where through brain power or effort or sweat or luck or all of those things, a breakthrough is achieved. And many of the things that we take for granted today resulted from an aha moment. So we're going to take a look back at a few of them and glimpse inside the minds of the creators and the inventors responsible for them. So that's going to be tomorrow morning at 9. It could be your Eureka moment. Who knows? Tomorrow morning at 9 here on WFA.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the evolution of the Tea Party, what it is, who belongs, and its goals, how its activists are shaking up the political establishment heading into the fall's general election.
That's the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon right after Charlotte Talks here on listener-funded 90.7 FM WFAE, your NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about peaches and the bumper peach crop that we're going to, I guess, be the beneficiaries of, the fruits of the labor of Ron Edwards and others. Ron is a peach grower at Springs Farm. Andy Rollins is with us, commercial fruit and vegetable agent with the Clemson Cooperative Extension Service. And Fran Cibelli, owner of Fran's Filling Station and formerly Metropolitan Cafe. And she's brought a lot of peach delicacies with her that she prepared, and also some recipes that we'll share with you as well as we go through this program. So we were talking just prior to the break about the trickiness of all this, right, and how you need a certain number of chill hours for the plant to go dormant and rest and recover from the summer. What are the other challenges?
Well, after we get our chill hours, then it's time to prune. And you want to make sure all your trees are pruned uniform and pruned the correct way. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that's done. And then next comes when we start the blooming process. And then that's when we have to worry about is it are we going to freeze and cold nights? Because there's not a lot of ways on our farm. We have different, we're kind of 5 acres here, 10 acres there, eight. It's we don't have it all in one big 100-acre track, mm-hmm, where you could bring in windmills and there's some other things you can do
to prevent the freeze.
To prevent freeze, yeah. To deal with some air and stuff.
Why did you do it that way? Why isn't it all in one tract?
Just because of the land and the farm, we're split up roads, housing development, and so right. forth. So, but after you make it through the bloom stage and you maybe survive like we did this year without any freeze, then it goes into, like we were talking earlier, about thinning, mm-hmm, you know. And you want to thin the right amount off, but you don't want to thin too much off. And then the next challenge is rain. We need rain. Everything needs rain to grow. And right now we experienced a lot of rain early on, and now it's turned off hot and dry. And, I don't know. I wish I'd, had my calendar with me, but the last time it did rain,
it was a long time ago.
So to get significant amounts of rain, because these trees, if they were on irrigation, they would take 25 or 30 gallons a day.
Each tree.
That's a lot of
water.
And
how many trees do you have, for instance?
We have about 65 acres. So
how many trees is that? Do you have any idea at all? Hundreds?
150 per acre, approximately.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
some even more because of the spacing of the tree planting.
So this is very labor-intensive from the get-go.
Exactly.
How long is when is the season from the time you have to think about freeze with the blossoms to the time you've harvested the last peach? How long is that? When does it begin? When does it end?
Well, it starts in April.
As far as the bloom, mm-hmm, actual picking peaches, you're looking at June 1st,
about
September, early September. If you had every variety in the market to go as far as you possibly could go, mm-hmm, then that's as far as, you know, a lot of growers don't choose to go that far because some of your early peaches aren't quite as good as the ones we're into now, which are wonderful. And then some of your later peaches, sometimes a lot of growers right after school starts, it's harder to get people to come out to a roadside stand, unfortunately, because that's where your superior fruit and quality, you know, where it's picked correctly and, you know, superior sugar taste and everything is. But a lot of times right after school starts, it's a little bit harder to get people out to the stand.
Why are the early peaches not as good as the later peaches?
We've gotten a lot better with it. There are some good varieties there, but most of those are actually cling peaches.
Where the stone clings to the fruit.
Yeah, yeah. And now we're what's into called freestone peaches, where the flesh actually comes easily, and they're just more convenient to eat.
Right.
You know, and but they do typically, most of your freestones do taste better than your clingstones, although we have gotten a lot better in our breeding programs and things where we had several varieties that came in this year that we don't normally get because the earlier they come in, the more susceptible they are to freeze in general. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple varieties, one called Flavor Rich this year, which was very early peach, which was wonderful. It was a clean peach, but had a wonderful flavor, and I think you had some Flavor Rich, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what we start out with, that Flavor Rich, and it's ripening dates actually at the end of May.
So let me
understand.
It's a
really early peach, but it is good peach.
But good.
This was new this year, or this was something that came in unusually this year?
It's such an early peach, it's not as reliable on making it through the freeze.
So does a tree produce more than one kind of peach? In other words, if a tree produces this early peach, is it done for the year?
Done.
So you have trees on your orchard that may or may not produce from year to year to year. So why do you have them?
Well,
if it's unusual to have this early peach that's so good, why not cut the tree down and put a new tree in that's going to be a later peach and more reliable?
Well, but our thing is we start with that Flavor Rich and to get a jump.
Okay.
Get those peaches in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people that do like the clean peach to make pickle. And you'll probably speak on that to make the pickle peaches
right.
and so forth, because you want that seed in there, the stone in there. So, but our goal was to get peaches in the store, get an early jump on it.
How many varieties of peaches do we grow in South Carolina?
It's a hard number to actually. We actually have over 700 total varieties, but just on Ron's farm, you have what, over 40, Ron?
We have over 40.
Now,
start with the Flavor Rich.
We did a program on apples. Not too long ago, and I was surprised to find out how many different varieties of apples there were. But the different varieties of apples are good for different things, whether you want to eat them out of hand or whether you want to bake them in a pie or a tart or some sort. Is the same true for peaches, Fran?
I don't know the answer to that.
So you don't, as a cook and a restaurateur and a pastry chef, you don't care?
Well, I would go more by degree of ripeness.
Okay.
I tend not to use white peaches as much in cooking. I tend to eat them more. They're a little more delicate. Mm-hmm. I think they tend to fall apart more. Am I right?
You are dead right.
Yay,
that's
good
so
for me.
Tender, aren't they, Ron? Handling-wise, you can hardly touch them and they'll bruise. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So a white peach, I just say for straight-up eating. Or I would put them in sangria or wine. In fact, my grandparents were from Italy, and they had a grape arbor, and every year they made homemade wine, which was a little effervescent, and they had pitchers of red wine and peaches. So at Fran's Filling Station, we do red wine sangria with peaches in honor of my grandparents.
But in terms of flavor, texture, if you're not going to necessarily just cook with it, because I just like to eat peaches, right, just eat them.
Yeah.
I don't scrape the fuzz off. I just eat the whole thing. Is that a bad thing, by the way?
No, that's a good thing.
You're smiling.
Is there a major difference? Because you've put out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 varieties of peaches in front of me. Will I taste the difference in these?
Oh, you definitely can. Some of these, the white, like this is a white southern peach. It's got a, if you try this one, this is a southern pearl.
Okay.
It's got a flowery taste to it. Some other varieties that you might know is Georgia Belle. A lot of older generation, they know Georgia Belle, and it's a white peach. It's got that flowery kind of a taste to it, but it's got your
It's a little tart, but also sweet.
It's got the tart. It's got your acid in there. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, try this white one here, and you'll notice this one just has sugar, and it's what's called a sub-acid white peach. That one is actually Snow Bright. It's missing that little bit of
no, there's acid. No tartness.
Yeah, but it's very sweet and
very sweet.
I checked with my kids last night and my little girl and the girl that was staying over the night, and they actually preferred the sub acids, which I personally still like my traditional southern with the acid in it. That's your traditional southern type peach.
The first one was what?
This is called Southern Pearl. It's a white fleshed sort of people would know it similar with Georgia Belle. But now the ones that
to me, it's more interesting than the second peach, the second white peach.
Yeah, it is. It's got more of that flowery, you know, kind of a taste to it versus your...
See, this to me, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
The white peach, the second white peach, is like the difference between grape juice and wine. Mm-hmm. This has a front and an after flavor, and this has just a constant sweetness to it.
Your Asian market actually prefers, a lot of your Asian market prefers the sub-acid in Atlanta okay. and different metropolitan areas. They actually prefer that lower, to me it's like eating a potato, you know, it's more bland.
Right.
Just like you're saying, yeah.
And young people, kids with unsophisticated palates and who don't like bitterness like in coffee and things like that would be drawn to that, it would seem to me.
But now these two here, this okay. is a flowery tasting nectarine. It's a white, it's got the acid and the sugar. That's my that's actually jade.
You can hear that.
And the juice is everywhere. Mm.
It's very good. Your traditional southern one.
Oh, my.
And the one that Ron has, that's the one we're producing all over the upstate. It's a wonder. It's called Red Globe, the yellow peach close to Fran there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the one beside it, Caro King, is one a yellow peach with your traditional acid flavor to it and just really good taste. And those are my favorites, both of those. But it's kind of neat.
I hate to be eating all these. There's plenty more peaches.
I know. Now, do you grow nectarines, Ron?
Yes. Yes, we have several varieties.
So I'm not disloyal if I say I like nectarines.
Yeah. I love nectarines.
Maybe
nectarines.
More.
What is the difference between a nectarine and a peach, aside from the fact that the nectarine doesn't have any fuzz on it?
That's it. You hit it. Yeah, it's actually genetically just a slight change. It's varying degrees of fuzziness of the peach is all it is.
Hmm.
It's actually a peach without fuzz.
And some years ago, back in the 60s, the manager of Springs Farm at that time was Mr. Palmer. Mm-hmm. And he'd done a little grafting with some trees and came up with a nectarine and a peach. And it was slick on one side and fuzzy on the other.
Wow.
Really?
And he called it the Palmerine.
And it took off like wildfire.
There were a few trees there on the farm. And like I say, as a kid working there as a summer job, as a kid, I can remember those. I thought it was so neat, you know, slick on one side and fuzzy on the other.
Now, how come it almost seems as though the peach orchards stop at the Carolina line between North and South Carolina? It's almost as though you can grow a peach in South Carolina, but you can't grow one here. Do we have orchards in North Carolina?
You actually do. I actually met with one of them, Mr. Mm-hmm. Crow, I believe his name is, right there off of 221, just okay. coming into North Carolina. From Spartanburg County, and he does a good job growing them. You do have, because it's more northern, you have a little bit higher chance of cold damage
okay.
and freezes, you know, whereas a lot of times it will just skip us and y'all will get nailed. So the number of years that you would make a crop is going to be further in between. We might get a crop every 3 years. You might not only get it every 5 years. It makes it harder long term to survive. This is a business, you know, like Ron was saying, he's got all of these things that he has inputs for. He's paid for pruning, he's paid for thinning, he's paid fertilizer costs, he's paid liming costs, and he hasn't made a dime on any of that. So it's amazing, and then he can lose everything right there at the freeze before he's made a dime on that year. So it's a big chance that they're taking every year, but the guys that have been in it a long time have been able to stay afloat and do good.
So. How do you stay afloat? Because this is a very farming of any kind is a very tricky proposition.
Exactly, and I don't think people give the farmer enough credit to, you know, that when you do have bad years, it's just a bad year. There's no way out. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so. But
I mean, the bankers couldn't do it. So tell me how the farmers do it.
Well, we have Mother Nature on our side. That's the best part.
How long does it take to? What's the lifespan of a tree? How long can a tree produce good peaches before its time is done?
Probably about 15 years, strong, healthy peaches. About 15 years.
So what happens when the peach tree begins to age? What happens to the fruit? Does it produce less or produce inferior
less.
Fruit?
Produces less.
And how long does it take to grow a peach tree to the point where it can start producing fruit?
We planted 30 new acres in 04,
mm-hmm.
04, 05, that winter. In 2 years we were producing fruit, but we were lucky. After we planted those orchards, we had plenty of rain, we had plenty mm-hmm. of water. I mean, everything lined up. But normally about 3 to 4 years before you can actually start, you know, go in and start.
And you don't plant them from seed, do you? You don't just drop a seed? Okay, you have
to buy rootstock.
Rootstock.
Right.
And is there grafting involved, like grapevines and things like that?
Right. All that's done before we get to
this is very, very, very labor intensive, yep. it seems to me, because of all the thing you have to do to prepare the peach tree for the growing season and the the culling of the peaches that you already talked about, and then the picking of the peaches and the packing of the peaches. Mm-hmm. Who does all this work? Because it's not year-round work. Who does it all?
Well, we have some migrant workers come in from Mexico. We're on the H-2A program, which is a government program that's mm-hmm. out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're all legal. Everybody has work visas. No, you know, we don't work anybody that's illegal or anything. We've always been on this program. It's a good program. I don't know why more people maybe don't take advantage of it.
Are these migrant
workers? But we bring these guys up, and they take care of our
work. And are they, would you call them experts in picking peaches? Because it seems to me that you have to have some expertise in this. Not anybody could just walk into the field and start picking peaches en masse, could they?
No. We've got some guys that have been coming up for 10 years or more.
Okay. Same people.
Some of the same ones. It varies a few, but most of the same guys.
Because Stephen Colbert on Comedy Central has teamed up with the United Farm Workers. Because there's this theory out there that these migrant workers and illegals do the jobs that Americans won't do. So they have put out this challenge to people who are out of work to come do the jobs that Americans won't do. Would you want them? Would you want some unemployed banker in your field picking peaches?
That's a tough question because he's not there for the longevity of it. I mean, his heart's not in it. I mean, he's wanting a paycheck at the end of the day because he lost his job at the bank. These guys actually, their heart's in it. They love doing it. And
tell me why, because it's got to be hot and dirty and hard.
Yeah.
Their heart's in it, you're telling me.
Oh, yeah. And they're proud of putting a good product out there to sell. They're proud of it.
And they're good at what they do. If I could share a story, I've seen different farms, you know, as extension agent, I get to go to all the different farms and, you know, without sharing which one, but, you know, each year under that program, farms will hire some local people and they'll try to keep up for a while. And so you can watch, you know, day by day their progress. And there's one particular guy and two guys that were working with him each day with the two Hispanic guys that were there on that program each day would try to help him and pick up his slack because the American guy, he was trying hard, but he wasn't cutting the mustard and they kept picking him up and he lasted for a good while. But he just wasn't able to. About 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he came in the first morning. I saw him. He had shorts on. He was freezing to death outside, but he wasn't really properly dressed for what he needed to do that day. And the farmer was actually really easy on him. He gave him some easier jobs on the farm. He was cleaning up brush out of the row middles from the pruning brush is all he was doing. He took him off of some of the harder jobs. But these guys, I've really learned to appreciate how good these guys are at what they do and how proud they are of the quality that they're delivering to these farms. Mm-hmm. These guys are for me to pretend like I could keep up with these guys, they're proud of what they do, and
they're proud.
It's a joy for me to be able to know them.
And that's another story that does not get out. I've never heard that story.
Yeah.
And that's an important story to tell, it seems to me. Scott in Charlotte writes, I'm curious to know about the nutritional values of a peach. Are they high in calories when they are really ripe? What vitamins are they good for? Vitamin C, etc. Anybody know about the nutrition of a peach? Fran?
You're looking at me. No, I would think that would be you.
I just love eating them.
I think, don't quote me, but I think they're high in vitamin A and C.
Okay,
I'll Google that and double check it, but I think that's right.
You can Google this, Scott, so do that and get back to us. We're coming right back. We have to take a break. Sure. And we're going to talk about recipes when we come back.
Charlotte
Talks on WFAE. And Charlotte Talks made possible in part today by Carolina Pad, inspiring creativity and innovation in fashion, school, office, and organizational products. Inspiration at CarolinaPad.com. Diane Rehm hosts a conversation about the evolution of the Tea Party movement. She's a little late to that party. We did this a couple weeks ago. The panel discusses its goals, who belongs, and how it's shaking up the political establishment coming up in about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to join our conversation about peaches, all things peaches, now's the time. 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323. 800-603-WFAE or every other way imaginable, WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
In a world where you're constantly bombarded by information, navigating the news every morning can be daunting. But you can count on Morning Edition, NPR's daily morning program. It's like a GPS for your brain, guiding you through the twists and turns of what's happening in the world. Feeling lost? Get found. Set your coordinates for Morning Edition from NPR News.
Comprehensive news you can trust. Morning Edition, weekdays from 5 till 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're sitting around the table today in our Spirit Square studio with Fran Chiavelli, owner of Fran's Filling Station, formerly Metropolitan Cafe, Ron Edwards, peach grower from Springs Farms, and Andy Rollins, commercial fruit and vegetable agent with the Clemson Cooperative Extension Agent. We have Scott's answer here about peaches and their nutritional value. Peaches are very low in saturated fat, cholesterol, and sodium. Also a good source of dietary fiber, vitamin A, niacin, and potassium, and a very good source of vitamin C. One medium-sized peach contains only 40 calories. One medium peach with skin contains 1 gram of dietary fiber. Given the fact that you guys, I would think, have to use pesticides and things like that on the, maybe you don't. If you don't, say so. how do you wash a peach if you're going to eat the skin and all to be safe?
We actually prefer to call them products rather than pesticides. And so many people have a – and I guess I think about
so
it like
euphemisms.
Children. Well, I mean, you call it what it is. If your child was dying from an illness, would you not give it medicine? And so many times nowadays, certain people, they hear the word pesticides as if farmers are just going out there and randomly using and spraying stuff just to have fun with it. And it's just not the case. We only use what we have to use. We actually use a lot of sulfur, which is a naturally occurring element, particularly during our cover sprays, which would be considered organic. It comes directly from the soil. So, but yes, we do have to use some because we've bred these peaches to be so tasty and so big that when you do that, it not only tastes better to us, but it also tastes better to insects and diseases. And so there are some things we do have to do on the farm, but all of them are safe and labeled for use.
And if you wash them under running water, it just comes right off? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I mean, these are surface things. Mm. I mean, I imagine that's one of the things we can now detect in parts per billion. Mm. And so I imagine, yes, you could find some, but actually finding it and actually whether or not it's actually causing you any harm or harm to your family, everything that we use is safe for consumption, and it's used according to the labels, which is the legal law behind what we do. And that's partly what we help with farms with making those decisions about when to use these things, when they need to be used. And we have educational meetings every year where we assist farms with understanding that kind of information.
Ron, you said a little while ago that in times of potential freeze, it makes it a little difficult for you to put in like windmills and things like that to protect the crop from freeze because of you don't have a contiguous area of peaches. It's divided by development and roads. What has been the impact of development on the peach farmers in general?
And in our case, it's been kind of tricky because we have to, as Annie was speaking about spraying, we do have to spray. So we just had to kind of get creative and we just run the spray in the middle of the night. People don't know it, but we spray peaches at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning while everybody's sleep. And
how do you do it? Are you people walking through the fields with those little pump things?
No, we have a tractor with a sprayer. It's a pool type sprayer, and it's an air blast sprayer. And we have a couple places where it's a parking lot between us and the daycare. We have another place where it's a coffee shop, this kind of thing. So for us to take care of our orchards, we just do it when they're not there, and it. Just because that happens to be in the middle of the night.
But. I want to talk about some recipes here with Fran, but before we do that, put your headphones on. We'll take a call from Bobby in Charlotte. Welcome, Bobby. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Curious question. We were down at Springs Farms this past weekend, and at the peach stands, they've got pretty much all these, you know, the ripe peaches in the baskets. But when you drive by all the peach farms down there, all the trees that you can see from the road all have green peaches. They're not ripe. And they were, and I asked them where those peaches came from, they just said they basically ripen at different stages, and I didn't know whether that was legit or not. So that's my question.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We have peaches that start ripening in like I said, the 1st of June, and then they ripen all through. Our last peaches come off. The autumn prince comes off in 1st of September. So, yes, as you ride down, you'll see peaches on the tree but not ripe. And
I've got a whole list of dates here. The Sunbright ripens by June 1st, Ruby Prince June 5th, Summer Prince June 10th, Garnet Beauty June 20th, the Gala Peach June 20th, Sugar Sweet June 25th. How accurate are these dates? You got these things timed to the nanosecond here.
They're pretty close. Sometimes we have two or three. Sometimes we have two or three varieties in the store at one time.
I'm sorry, Bobby. What?
Yeah, just another quick question. If they ripen at different times, is one of them, you know, are the later peaches bigger and sweeter, or how does that work?
Well, a lot of time your freestone peaches are later. They usually start around the 1st of July with your freestones. And a lot of times they do tend to have a little better size on them. And so they tend to be bigger.
Bobby, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let's talk about some of this food that you brought, Fran, because you brought, unexpectedly, I didn't know you were doing this, a lot of different things, and some of them are exquisite.
Oh, you're very kind, but I do take it as an honor if the peach experts like my food.
We do.
Thank you.
I don't know where to begin, so why don't you lead me through some of these things?
Well, what I have right in front of me is roasted peaches.
Roasted peaches.
Which is, I would say, more on the savory side. They are roasted with butter, a little bit of port wine, balsamic vinegar, and a little bit of honey.
How do you roast them?
I just put them skin side down in a baking dish. I melt the butter first and then put a little balsamic. I mean, when I say a little, I mean about a teaspoon. A little bit of port wine, about the same amount, and then just drizzle the entire thing with honey. And I let it roast about, I don't know, I'd say 15 minutes because I want them
at
soft.
At what temperature?
350.
Okay.
I want them soft but not falling apart. And then I actually took the peaches out, and I kept cooking the syrup. And then I poured the syrup over the peaches.
Do you make your own syrup?
The syrup is delicious.
Do you make your own syrup?
Well, the syrup is just the honey, the port, the balsamic, and the butter. And that was the best part. And so I've served one with some blue cheese and some toasted hazelnuts. And then on the other side, I serve those two peaches with a lavender goat cheese. So the idea of that is, you know, drink a little glass of peach sangria and nosh on some slightly savory roasted peaches and cheese.
Boy, the lavender goat cheese.
Isn't that good?
Is remarkable.
It's really good. No, obviously, these aren't warm, and my preference would be to serve the peaches a little warm.
Right.
But I thought they came out very nicely.
Do you also make peach ice cream? Do you ever make peach?
Yes, we do. We make at the restaurant all the time peach cobbler. That is a staple. And then what you have on your side is a little tiny cookie. It's a rosemary almond peach financier, and that's just a little tiny cookie. Did you guys try that?
Not yet.
How about it?
I wish you would.
I'd be glad to.
I wish you would.
Twist my arm, why don't you?
And those are really simple to make, but that's just a little cross between sweet and savory.
That's good.
Yeah, it's different.
Are peaches substantially different from, say, apples in working with in the kitchen or in recipes, baked goods, etc.?
For me, they are. They're more delicate than an apple, but also apples tend to take on savory, I think, a little bit better than peaches. Peaches are sweeter than apples. And so many of the things I would do with apples I wouldn't quite do with peaches. But that's not to say that there isn't a universe of things you can do with peaches, as evidenced by this sandwich right here. This is my single favorite thing. Do I see someone motioning me to bring some over?
Please.
This was my favorite thing that I made.
I don't want to hog the sandwich, so how do I divide it?
Well, you had some already, didn't you?
Oh, Andy ate some.
I had any.
Oh, it was Ross.
Okay, don't fight over it. Let's see if we can get this cut. I made some pickled peaches.
Okay.
And which I'll tell you how to do in a second, but this is a sandwich on crusty baguette with prosciutto and burrata, which is a cream-filled mozzarella, and a little bit of pea shoots and olive oil.
You know what mozzarella needs? More cream.
That's what I always say.
More milk products.
But this was my... Oh, Andy, good going. this was the single, my single favorite thing that I made, to the point where it's going to have to be on the menu, I would say.
Oh, really?
Going forward. It's very good.
You can count on the Cooperative Extension Service to have a knife.
So what I did when I pickled the peaches was I took the skin off. And it's very simple to take the skin off. It's just like taking the skin off a tomato. You make an X on the bottom, and you put the peach in boiling water for anywhere from 20 seconds, say, to a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in an ice bath, and the skin
just peels right,
peels
away.
Right off.
That doesn't affect the flesh?
No, okay. Not at all. And this is the shortcake. But in any event, when I pickled the peaches, I didn't want to do something really obvious. Like with cinnamon and clove. I wanted to stay away from, you know, the more traditional flavors. But I did put a little bit in with my pickling spice, some apple cider vinegar, some sugar and water. But I also put in a hot pepper.
Really?
I don't know if you can taste it. There's just a little bit of heat and a little bit of shallot in that.
That sandwich is amazing, Fran.
Thank you.
That really is good.
Thank you.
It is amazing because it's a... I wouldn't have thought cheese and...
prosciutto.
Prosciutto
with the burrata.
Mm-hmm.
With the pea shoots, which is just a little bit of, you know,
and
green.
Basil.
Oh, a little basil. Yeah, you're right. Good palate. Thank you.
And a little
mozzarella
bit of olive
cream, oil.
And olive oil. It is to die for.
Thank you. I like that sandwich a lot.
You
I think
should.
It's a good one.
Now, is it fattening?
Hell no.
I beg your pardon?
And actually, mozzarella, I mean, if you're going to eat cheese, mozzarella is not the worst thing you can
no.
eat.
No.
But
the whiter the cheese, I'm told, the less the fat.
I felt very, I mean, I don't like to do things that are expected. I like to do things that are a little unexpected. And I think that this sandwich is a little unexpected, but it's not crazy.
I'm not one to try a lot of things, but this is delicious.
Thank you. I take that as a real compliment.
It's light. It's mm-hmm. a good summer sandwich. You know, instead of a heavy,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
overwhelming meat, it's really got a lot of different flavors in it.
But it's interesting. Wow. People hear pickled peaches and they yeah. sort of, you know, they're not sure what to expect. But I think that
how
that
do you pickle
it works
them?
Really well. You just make a little syrup with cider vinegar, water, sugar. Mm-hmm. I'll say equal amounts of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Pickling spice. And let it come to a boil, let the sugar dissolve, and you have your peaches peeled and cut into wedges in a canning jar. Just strain it right over the peaches and let them sit a couple days. It's really easy. I mean, literally, that takes 15 minutes max.
Okay. Now, I have had some of this. This is this
the shortcake?
Well, and maybe I haven't had that. I was thinking of the one with the cream.
This is it.
This is it. Okay.
This is it. Okay, so what I did was I made scones, which people mm-hmm. may remember from Metropolitan Bakery. That was a huge seller. But I made a little different variation. I made a peach and pecan scone. And then I made a peach and orange butter, which I'm calling sunshine butter. And so you can have it for breakfast with coffee or tea, just a really simple, not too sweet peach and pecan scone with the butter. But then I've turned it into a dessert by splitting it and filling it with chantilly cream, which is a mixture of pastry cream and whipped cream, 50-50, mm-hmm. and just some peaches with a tiny bit of sugar and lemon juice.
And you were telling me before the show that if people at home can do this in a slightly different way with a similar result.
Exactly.
An easier way.
And that is to make a box of vanilla pudding
mm-hmm.
and fold that 50-50 with whipped cream. And if you want to be fancy, put a little extra vanilla extract in it. Or if you want to be really fancy, put a little rum or brandy in there. You go. You have a flavored cream. But just that little extra step, I think, really makes a spectacular shortcake.
Mm.
And then we have here that we're just looking at. Nobody's drinking.
That's right.
It is I made a peach syrup.
Go ahead.
It is Ron has the non-alcoholic version. It's a peach syrup, which I made just by peeling and cutting up peaches and mashing them with a fork. Mm-hmm. And I poured a simple syrup over that, which is just a mixture of 50-50 water and sugar. The sugar's dissolved in the liquid. Poured it on the peaches with a little vanilla bean and lemon peel. And let that sit overnight and strained it out. And it makes a supercharged Bellini with some sparkling wine. Or you have it with sparkling water. And mm-hmm. how do you like it?
It's delicious.
Good. And I think it would work on pancakes.
Now, you did not come armed with the recipes for these things written down.
Of course not.
But you're going to write them down for us.
Yes, I am.
And we will then post them on our website at some future date in the near future.
Absolutely.
So people can grab these things.
Absolutely.
And let me just say that they're well worth grabbing.
Thank you.
The sandwich and the scone with the pastry cream is just remarkable, and so is
Marquette cheesecake.
I forgot about the cheesecake.
I've got a cheesecake here. It has a little bit of white chocolate and blueberries with a peach streusel top, and I do think that came out nicely.
Yes, it did.
In other words, I would eat it.
Very quickly before we run out of time, Laura says, I believe the peaches taste totally different and so much better if they have not been refrigerated. That means the peaches I got at the farmer's market on Saturday will be well on the way to being spoiled by Tuesday or Wednesday. Is there some way I can extend their life without ruining the taste?
In the selection process, you know, choosing just the firmness is probably her easiest indicator. Choosing baskets that have a little bit firmer, I like to have, if I'm picking my own basket, I'm going to pick some harder ones for the bottom of the basket, and I'm going to pick some softer ones for the top of the basket so that I've got a range so that the ones that are harder in a couple days will be turning to where I like
and
them.
And should you keep the peaches together in that basket, or should you separate them?
You don't want to overload the basket. Keeping them separate, the more weight, it's mainly a weight
factor,
a gravity factor more so than any, wouldn't you say, Ron?
Yeah. We have a lot of people that... You know, say, well, the peaches are hard, but, you know, we have to pick them a little bit firm so they will last, and you can have them over some time.
We've actually got some videos on YouTube, Clemson does, on how to pick the right peach and stuff. You can search. And all of our varieties are also from the Clemson. If you go to the Clemson main webpage and go to P for peach, and there's all kind of information there for consumers if they want all of that.
We'll try to post that information on our website a little bit later on today as well. That's Andy Rollins, commercial fruit and vegetable agent for the Clemson Cooperative Extension Service. Ron Edwards joined us, peach grower from Springs Farms, and Fran Cibelli, owner of Fran's Filling Station. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mike. Sure appreciate it.
Charlotte